You comfortable, Reagan?
Yes.
How old?
12.
What the fuck time is it, man?
Is there someone inside you?
Sometimes.
Do you know what time it is? You
can get in serious trouble for a copyright infringement.
Goodbye, Ed. Bill. Is your little man still?
No.
Dr. Frankenstein.
If you weren't tripping balls before that brand new special show intro, you might be now. My name is Autonomy, this is DJ Mochi over here too. You're tuned into CITR 101.9, this is the Copyright Experiment. A special Copyright Experiment episode, a little spookier than usual. Why, you ask? Well, you're probably not asking why, because you know it's Halloween. Yeah, so that was a pretty crazy intro. You're on Aaron Mike 3 there. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm really excited for the show. It's a fun night to be playing. I don't know how many people are going to be listening, but, you know, whatever.
You know, people who want to get their scare hijinks on in the radio, you know, listen to a good old radio play or something. We're not going to do a radio play, but we'll make it scary for you anyway. Hopefully.
Copyright, now that's terrifying.
Copyright is terrifying for some people. I don't know, like, I have never been involved in a copyright court case, but I imagine the people who were sued for hundreds of thousands of dollars by the RIAA for downloading off Napster, they're probably very scared of copyright, so... Yeah.
I'm sure if Alfred Hitchcock were making movies, he would be all over that.
He would probably make, yeah, a movie about copyright. So, what are we talking about on the show tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about, in the light of the fact that we play a lot of remixes on the show, and during the season, we kind of start to hear, you know, some Halloween-themed remixes and things people are playing for, you know, parties or whatever. And
yes, definitely.
So we want to talk about remixes in general.
Do you think we're going to hear some Halloween remixes tonight?
What?
I guess maybe we'll just have to, you'll just have to stay tuned and find out.
Yeah, maybe we can, maybe we'll see. we have a ghost mix tonight, so.
Yeah, ghost mix.
No, I'm just kidding, it's me. I guess we want to talk about remixing tonight and just kind of the different types of remixes that exist. Why they're so much bigger nowadays, and also in the electronic music culture. So somewhat of an opinion, but also just what we know from being DJs and doing a lot of playing out of remixes and remixing ourselves even. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But you know, I don't think this is quite spooky enough. I think I'm going to throw a little something in here. Make it a little scarier topic tonight.
Oh my god.
Yes, now that is fulfilling my expectations. So I'll fill you in on what you're listening to now. This is, I went to the thrift store today, And guess what I found? I found a cassette.
Hipsters? What? Oh.
No. It's one of those weird, sketchy thrift stores. But, you know, what I did find is, I found a couple of records, actually. But I found this cassette called The Sounds of Halloween. And the track list on it is Side 1, Sounds of Halloween. So, you know, of course I had to buy it. So we're going to play that, set the mood a bit for our talk here.
Yeah. Maybe we can remix this. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Cool. Make our own Halloween remix.
Yeah, we'll call it Sounds of Halloween by Hallmark remix.
Mm, yeah, by Hallmark. Thank you, Hallmark.
Okay, so what are some kinds of remixes, Tim? Like what have you seen?
Okay,
so many different names and.
Well, let's go talk about what a remix is. Mm. So, the first remixes. I mean, remixes were kind of born out of dance music because. And electronic music, because I think those are the genres that were, you know, the people who are making that music are really interested in the latest things, you know, seeing what you can do with technology to create artistic things and
yeah.
music and stuff. And so I think the remix was kind of an inevitable development in dance music culture.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that, you know, it's very, very much a closed off society, and you're gonna have people who are gonna want to do their own take on certain tracks and stuff like that. So.
Where's that coming from? Is that my computer? Oh, that's my computer.
From, yeah.
It is?
It's coming from your computer, yeah.
Yeah, that's my computer.
That was a little obtrusive.
I didn't push play. That was some ghost shit.
Some ghost happening. Ghost in the studio.
What are you saying?
Yeah, so I think remixes were just an inevitable development in dance music, just because as a dance music producer, you're it's a solo endeavor, but you know there's still a real social aspect to the community, and so having someone else have it take a spin on something you've made is certainly something that would be desirable. But the first remixes, I mean, they weren't really called remixes at the time, but, you know, when an artist would release a single or something, they would have the A mix on the A side and another mix on the B side.
Mm-hmm.
So there's often variations, like the instrumental mix or radio mix or something. But, you know, that kind of turned into artists making a remix, a mix being, like, the mix down of the different tracks involved in.
Yeah.
In the song. So that's basically someone else's take on whatever the source material was for the original artist.
Yeah, so it's kind of like saying, okay, this is cool, but this is what I would have wanted to do, or this is the function I wanted to have. You know, you take a song that's originally a pop song, you turn it into something you play in a club, you turn it into something that...
Yeah, there's another artistic vision to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Someone, if you hear something... As a musician, you have ideas of what you might want to do.
Yeah, or you make it for scratching or for playing, you know, for emceeing tour, you know, mm-hmm. something like that.
So yeah, and so when remixes started to become a little more popular, there kind of grew a distinction of what like an official remix was and what an unofficial remix was. And an official remix pretty much is one that has been. You know, has the blessing of the original, or someone sought out someone else to do a remix.
Yeah, it's been commissioned.
Yeah, exactly, commissioned remix. And when that in that case, the remixer is usually sent over what's called the stems of the song, which are each of the individual tracks without having them being mixed together, so that you know the artist can do their own mix.
Yeah,
a remix.
And when Tim says tracks, he means like each instrument. You know, they send one file or one, and I guess it would be back in the day like cassette or something, I don't even know, that was just the vocals and one piece with just the bass line, one piece with just the drums or something, or even like yeah. each different drum, and then you cut it up
and that's actually you touch on an interesting point there, because before we were able to send, you know, big uncompressed files over the internet, you'd either have to record your tracks on tape and send them over to someone,
yeah.
which is kind of costly, or have someone come to your studio and remix in your bedroom, in your studio, wherever
mm-hmm.
that is. So the internet's kind of created this way to distribute remixes and get other people to remix your stuff and create collaborations across the world. And, you know, people like the duo Lol Boys, for example, they lived in two different cities and created all their music back and forth like that.
Yeah.
So that kind of, the internet's kind of made a way for people to remix really easily, but, and it's also made a way, the digital technology they use has made it a lot easier to create remixes, and anybody can create a remix now.
Absolutely, and I mean, there's certain genres that just, like, you slap this beat pattern on it, and then you put these vocals in a certain way, and that's how they do all the remixes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, the word remix, it encompasses a very wide range of of music and what music can be, everything from, you know, adding a little iconic like snare drum to over a track and, you know, that's my remix, or you know, totally deconstructing the song and using like maybe a couple of vocal snippets and that's it. And you know, they're both in the same realm of what we would consider a remix.
Yeah, and there's kind of different sub genres of remixes, like edits and fixes and refixes and
Called everything under the sun.
Twerks and
Maybe we can talk about that a bit. I mean, a remix, as we say, is usually considered to be something that's been commissioned. They have the stems that they use to make their own mix of the track. But, you know, people generally don't have the stems, or, you know, producers that are starting out that want to get some recognition by maybe remixing a track that's already well known will make an edit or a bootleg or something which they don't have the stems, but they'll still be able to chop up the song and kind of EQ things, just change it in subtle ways and add their own spin on it.
Yeah, and there's lots of interesting ways, if you look on the internet, to obtain the vocals from a song without actually having the stem, so you can kind of filter things out and get what you want to some degree, and you know, bootleg it that way.
Yeah, I think remixing has, and these ways that people have described to, you know, get acapellas when there's no official acapella out or something, these ways are kind of, they're methods for people, for music to be liberated for other people to use, rather than just be, you know, very isolated in the community of like musicians who have recording contracts or something like that.
Yeah, and I think on one hand it's good because it gets all these different people, you know, all these different players kind of in the game and all over the internet just able to do bootlegs and remixes. And, you know, there's like competitions where people do remixes, and there's SoundCloud, people post a plethora of remixes, more than you can even handle.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, there's a lot of just crap remixes.
There, yes. There.
I mean, so, you know, you got to sift through it, and you don't have to, but we do.
Yeah. you know, yeah, definitely. Especially the ones that are for free, you kind of, it's a real wild jungle out there wading through tracks and remixes, free tracks that people have put out. But, you know, we try to bring you the best.
Oh, we do. And one thing I find really interesting is when they take like old tracks and they kind of fix them and they make them sound in the new vein, and they put the, you know, the new really punchy, hard compressed 808s or whatever into the songs. It's very interesting to me because it's like they're kind of like reviving it more than remixing, almost, you know. Like,
yeah, definitely
bring it into the current.
Would you say they are necromancing these songs?
Raising the dead
tracks. Yeah, kind of making it relevant for the new kids. It's funny that remixing has been so prevalent now, and even in like the official music world, where it's, and especially with digital distribution, where there's not really a limit on what you can fit onto a release.
Yeah.
In physical releases, there's, you know, you have a limit of how much data you can actually put on your physical medium, but digital distribution has changed that, and so now you can see things, releases like, you know, a 2-minute song and that's it. Or you can see, on the other hand, like a single that has 12 remixes on it.
I saw this one, I guess it was an album, I don't know what to call it, but it was like 30-something remixes of Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, and like half of them were just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
stuff you would listen to maybe once.
Yeah, and like, you know, in the past you couldn't take the time to press that, or the time and the money to press that to a vinyl or the space. Now you can just slap it up on the internet, put it for free download, people will check it out, maybe they won't.
Yeah, it kind of turns people into the ones that are filtering out quality rather than the label owner or the, you know, record executives or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, like, you said, liberating.
It's a blessing and a curse, I think. Yeah. Yeah. It puts a lot more onus on individuals to fine-tune their like their meters for detecting quality and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, I would say it's liberating in that it gives people options.
Yeah, and I think it's probably allowed some artists to come into the scene that might have otherwise missed out, or you know, not had the connections to make it, or the motivation to make those connections to make it, I guess.
Yeah, or artists who, you know, really believe in what they're doing, but may not have a significant following, or may not have a significant following now, but it may happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take people. There's very little chance that you have to. There's very little risk involved in putting it out.
There's like no risk in putting it out.
Right.
There's only just the chance that you won't get recognized in that. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it's really neat to see artists that just they put out a remix and it just explodes. I mean, like Cyril Hahn, he's a Canadian that he put out that Say My Name remix and just went bonkers.
That, like, that made his name.
It was crazy. Like just out of nowhere, just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting how that stuff happens because it's like such a fine, you know, like you just have to be listening or able to expect what people are going to want and what people are going to be like, oh, this is good, you know? And that's where a lot of the artistry, I think, in remixing comes in is making it... I mean, if you want it to be successful in that way, is like making it come off in such a way that people are like, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to hear with this song.
Mm-hmm.
This is that, you know, this is that beat I wanted in this song originally, but they didn't have, you know, this is that bumping whatever, I don't know.
It's funny, when a producer is faced with having to compose a remix, there's two responses. I think there's the first one. If you hear a song, you hear it and you're like, you know, this is cool. I like parts of this, but you know, I would do this totally different. This part here, this drum track should be different. I like this a cappella, or, you know, I like the music or the lyrics, but I don't like this lyric here, so I'm just gonna chop that out if I had the chance. And now you have the chance.
Yeah.
But you know, there's also the other side, like where you hear a song and you're like, this track is amazing. And I have a lot of respect for people who, you know, are able to make really cool sounding remixes out of songs that are actually really good on their own.
Yeah.
Where you would hear it and say, this is an amazing track, I really love it. Because me personally, I wouldn't know where to start remixing something that is already I'm already so impressed with.
Yeah. One thing I see a lot, which is not very exciting or inspiring, is when people take songs that are already popular and then just kind of slap on whatever beat, and it's like, all right, you know, that's cool, or you know, it wasn't really a great song to begin with, but it's kind of, you know, got some meme associated with it, and so they put it out. You know, it's fun, I get it, but like it's much neater to see someone who takes a really good song and then does something totally different and like recreates it in a real way.
Right. And you know, doesn't, you know, make it a version to fit a subgenre.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, really listens to it and tries to make something that reflects some idea that they have about the track, rather than, you know, oh, you know what? Let's make a dubstep version.
Yeah. Let's put a trap beat on this Miley Cyrus song.
Yeah. Make this tech house version.
But and don't get me wrong, I like a lot of those, but
no, we're not bagging on it. But there's a cookie cutter element.
Yeah,
to
there's
it.
A lack of inspiration for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's where some of the sort of terminology comes in, which is very nebulous, as Tim said earlier to me. You say remix, and you're just taking the vocals. You know, you're just taking a few seconds. You know, when does it become a remix? When does it become an edit?
When is it just a sample you're
using? Yeah. When is it a fix? Like, and you see some people that will take whole vocals, but put a new drum track and then call it their own new song. And I find that kind of strange, because to me that's still kind of a remix.
Right.
Then I mean, that's just my own personal opinion, but obviously they think differently, or they want to make it seem differently.
It's funny, when we were talking about sampling 2 weeks ago, you know, there was that law website that was giving Common Sense advice, and you know, one of their pieces of advice for people that are sampling music is, you know, don't call it the original name, and then you won't get caught or something. So that may be rationale behind it, but
it seems weird. But like one example that I'm thinking of right now is Ciara's Body Party was just remixed like crazy in like the mid-east kind of Midwest club like scenes and stuff, or just east in general, in the U.S. And that song in and of itself is sort of like a remake. I mean, I can't remember the song, but the line is taken directly from like the whole instrumental backing sounds exactly like some other like Miami bass song from the 90s that I can't remember the name, but I just listened to it this morning and I was like, oh, so this is already like kind of a remix, and then people were remixing it like crazy. You know, it's like, and I feel like it reflects something about the way music works to some degree. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Like one track that I think of is one of the first examples of a remix to me is there's this Bach track, the do 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 do, you know, the Prelude in C major, and this other guy later on was like, oh, I'm gonna put like an Ave Maria kind of like, you know, singing line over the top of it, and it works really well, and that's basically a remix. You know, he took this and made his own version of it, but used some element from the original,
right?
And it's not exactly the same that he had from the original, but it's very similar, and I think that kind of culture is very, it's
a natural thing.
Yeah, it's been occurring all throughout history. I mean, you look at jazz, and that's like, it's a conversation, remixing each other's ideas.
Music,
you know?
I mean, art in general. This is an opinion I have about that I've talked with a lot of people about. Yeah. But you know, art is a form of communication, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, the fact that one person is taking someone else's sample or song and making their own version of it isn't so much indicative of, you know, people's willingness to violate producers' rights and more about, you know, giving their word in the conversation.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is what I have to say. And the guy's like, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. But this is what I think. This is my spin on it. You know, yeah. This is my take on it. This is how I want to work with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I guess that becomes less so when you get the less inspired remixes that are just kind of fitting subgenres. But I think a lot of the time it does fall into that category of a reply or a spin on a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
To some degree.
Okay, I think we should play some ads and get into some music soon.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, all right. We'll be back in a minute. This is CITR 101.9 FM, the spooky episode of the Copyright Experiment. That was pretty bad.
Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty. And I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
One of the things that myself and Sean Corin and Holly.
Welcome back to the Copyright Experiment. I was just about to get into some tunes in a minute. How you doing, Jeff? You ready to play some stuff?
Yeah, man. Ready.
Cool. Let's get into some Halloween tunes to start off today.
Come, 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 come
This is Mochi Pet with a horror theme remix. Was it Asian American Horror Story? Halloween remix. That's right, it's DJ Yolo Bear up in there. Whitney versus Brandy. That's what this one's called. You can probably figure out what the tracks are. Keeping it going with the classic pop remixes. The Janet Jackson remix of I Get Lonely by DJ Hoodboy.
Pace, you fuck with me, fuck around and be deceased. Bless the beast, whack me. with oversized clothes. Complain about my jeans, cause I'm taking all they hold up, wait a minute. The pussy ain't shit till your ass skinny, skinny. I'm going off the shanty, not north, watch minutes. Rolling up some purple that my nigga called Christmas. Was test tube, then I left with four chemists. Rolling testers on it, but the testers got slump.
Got slump.
I'm smoking blunt after
weekend.
Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt. Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt. Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt.
And I smile.
Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt.
That's right. Danny Brown remix. Blunt after blunt. The tits chewing the bootleg.
But the hers hasn't even if she gets a smell of it. That's why these bitches fuck with me, cause I eat that pussy like a female MC. You get it, get it? How about me and your girlfriend? You with it, money over everything, the only thing that matters. And since I've been getting it, these blunts be getting fatter. Take a couple puffs off it, now a nigga woozy. The White House I fuck with, consider them woozies. We got to make a movie. Stop. Starring me and a cast full of groupies. And I do my own stunts. I'm smoking blunt after
weekend.
Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt. Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt. Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt.
And I smile.
Blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt.
This is Noah Bearer and Compton Chic out of Montreal. The Compton Chic is part of the Booty Bakery crew out in Montreal. This track is called Rock the Boat.
Boy, you really getting me high. Boy, you know you make me float.
This is Melee out of the UK off his mixtape, which came out a couple weeks ago, Melee Vanille Volume 2. This track's called Streets of Rage 2. Putting a donk on it on the copyright experiment. Up next is Machine Drum with Diablo. Spooky stuff. We're going to be right back after a couple ads. This is the Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9 FM. If you enjoy any of the tracks you're hearing, make sure to check out the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. We'll have download links to all the tracks we play. Be right back in a minute.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
I own my 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 media.
The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members. Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
Hello. Join us for Rockets and Scrubs every Sunday at 6 p.m. for an hour jam-packed with hip-hop, funk, breaks, swing, and other alternative genres. Every Sunday at 6 p.m., but only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Copyright Experiment. DJ Mochi is spinning up a great set tonight. If you like any of the songs he's playing, make sure to check out copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. All the track links, download links, and podcast links as well. This is a track by Jesse Lanza out of Toronto. She just dropped a new album. It's really good. You should check it out. This track is for free, though. It's called Move Over? Move Closer.
Thank you.
This track is called Navajo Gunmen by Self-Evident and Crush Up, both from Vancouver. This is out on Matt the Alien's label called Really Big Recordings. Check it out. This is DJ Fresh, a track called Gold Dust. This is Shy FX's no D&B remix, just the reggae. And this is going to be the last track for the Copyright Experiment tonight. If you like any of the songs you hear, make sure you check out the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. We'll have all the download links for all these songs. And stay tuned in a couple minutes. Pierre's coming up next with Oral Tentacles.